Hello, everybody, moms, dads, aunties, guardians, caregivers, nurses, and healthcare providers, and patients. Welcome to my channel. Welcome to my podcast, The Faba Podcast, where we talk about the development and behavior of children. And we are back from a long break. We are back, and this is Disability Pride Month, and we are going to talk about disabilities. Last season, we talked about the causes of disabilities, and this season, we're going to talk about the different types of disabilities and what to do when your child or somebody you know or when you have been given the news that you are disabled. And we are going to talk about different types of disabilities. We're going to talk about mental disabilities, physical disabilities, sensory disabilities, social disabilities, and learning disabilities. So join us for the rest of the season. Please invite your friends, share the episodes, like and subscribe to my channel on YouTube, and you will help me to get more of this message out. So before we break it down and start speaking about specific disabilities, we are going to define what a disability is. And different people, different societies, and different patients have their own varied definitions of what they consider to be a disability. But the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, defines a disability as any condition of the body or mind that makes it more difficult for the person with the condition to do certain activities and to interact with the world around them, okay? So if you have anything in your body or in your mind that stops you from being yourself, that stops you from engaging in what is considered usual activities based on, you know, the age where you're at, the position in life, your gender, or your culture, if you cannot participate in the activities that are largely considered usual, then that condition means that you have a disability. There are so many types of disabilities that we can talk about. We are not going to be able to cover all of them, but we are going to choose what I feel or I have observed is common in Kenya and in Africa, and we are going to break it down and talk about them in more detail. So we're going to talk about blindness, we are going to talk about deafness, we're going to talk about paralysis, we're going to talk about amputations, we're going to talk about schizophrenia and other mental disabilities, we're going to talk about joint deformities, we're going to talk about anxiety, we're going to talk about muteness, we're going to talk about learning disabilities and intellectual disabilities. So I know this list does not cover all the disabilities that exist in the world. It doesn't cover all the disabilities, if you will. But we are just going to open the box and just start a conversation, and we can continue as we see fit. Okay, so in the next few weeks, we are going to discuss some of these disabilities in depth and what can be done to make the lives of the persons that are affected with these disabilities better. We shall not just focus on the medical assistance to be offered, but also the financial, social, and learning accommodations that need to be done to make these children thrive. So join me, your host, Dr. Lilian Kerubo Agufana, a pediatrician and ECD champion and behavioral enthusiast, as we go on this journey of disabilities and what they portend to the person who has them. So on to our first mini topic. We will start with blindness. Okay. And I know one of us or some of us or one of the people listening to me has either met or is suffering from blindness. It's very common, and it affects even children. We have so many children in Kenya right now who are considered blind, legally blind. So blindness is, in simple terms, inability to see. Okay, and there are various degrees of what constitutes legal blindness or medical blindness, because there are some children who at least can perceive light, but they will not be able to perceive symbols or numbers or people. There are children who can perceive color, but they may not be able to perceive structures. There are children who you know, they're not able to perceive anything and it's a black screen in front of them. So there are various degrees of blindness. Okay, so for somebody to be able to see, for us to say that a child has the ability to see or a person has the ability to see, there are various structures in the body that need to be functioning as they ought to. So your eye, the structure that is responsible for vision, needs to be working properly. The nerves that are responsible for relaying the messages that have been picked by the eye to the brain need to be functioning properly, and the brain itself needs to function properly because the brain is what constitutes the interpretation of what the eye has seen. So those are three different areas that may be affected by blindness: either the eye, the nerve, which is known as the optic nerve, or the brain, specifically the part of the brain that is responsible for interpretation of light images, and that is the occipital brain, which is the back of the brain. So when all these structures are working well, this allows you to visualize objects as illuminated by light, to identify the objects and to separate them from other objects, and to relate these objects to the overall picture. So vision is not just about being able to see that a car is in front of me. It's also the ability to recognize that that is a car, which of course depends on learning, education, and exposure. It also, vision also covers the ability to separate the car from other surrounding structures like trees and people. And it also, vision also means that you're able to somehow make an abstract relationship between the car and the structures that are around the car and what possibly the car could be used for or what possibly the car could be doing there. So vision is a whole spectrum of not just object identification, but interpretation, relativity, and representation. Children's vision develops through certain stages. So contrary to what many people believe, children are born with vision. Well, the ones who have the ability to see, they are born with the ability to see, because some people imagine that children start seeing when they are 3 years or 4 years or when they go to school. No, at the point of birth, a child is able to see because the eye starts developing from about 4 weeks when they're still in the womb and is finished by about 16 weeks when they're still in the womb. However, the vision of a newborn baby is not clear. It is hazy, it is blurry, and they're not able to differentiate color, and they're not able to differentiate finer details, but they can fix it to light. So if you shine a torch in a child's, in a newborn's eye, they will be able to follow the light. At 3 months, children can fix it to toys or big things, and at 2 years, they can identify cards and big symbols. At 4 years, they're able to identify letters and numbers, of course, depending on whether they've been to school or somebody has shown them these letters and numbers before. So it is important that newborn babies have their eyes checked at birth or soon after birth so that we are able to tell if this child has an eye problem or if this child has a difficulty in vision, so that we are able to intervene early. Okay, so we examine baby's eyes at birth and then just before school entry so that we don't send a blind child to a regular school where their needs are not being met, and then we chastise them for not performing as we expect them to. So as a parent or a caregiver or a teacher, how are you able to suspect or identify the child who may have visual problems? So if you notice that your child doesn't look at you frequently, because most newborn babies look at their parents very often, they're always tracking them with their eyes, especially during breastfeeding, during play, during interactions. So if you notice when you're trying to play with your child does not look at you, that could be a clue that perhaps the child doesn't have vision. If you notice that your child doesn't follow objects with their eyes, maybe you move a red toy in front of their eyes from left to right and they don't seem to be following the object with their eyes, that could be a clue that your child may not have vision. If you look inside your child's eye and you notice anything strange, like a white dot, or you notice a cloudy appearance of the eye, or if you notice a white heavy thing inside your child's eye, or generally anything that you think is not usual in a child's eye that should warrant an examination. And so you should take this child to an ophthalmologist who is a specialist of the eye to confirm that the vision is there and that nothing is wrong. If perhaps it's an older child who is always falling and always tripping when they're trying to walk, so every time you tell them come, they have to fall before they get to you, or they have delayed walking, that's a child who may be struggling to see the way that they should walk in. So you should have this child's eyes checked. If you notice that your child has some behaviors that are like compensatory behaviors to the lack of vision. For example, a blind child may be constantly flapping their hands in front of their eyes to kind of get that vibration and kind of get that sensation that there is air around them, or that there is space in front of them in which they can move into. So those are signs that your child may be struggling with vision and you should have them checked. So what are some of the causes of blindness, especially in children? Because sometimes one of the commonest questions parents have when a child has been diagnosed with blindness is why, where, and how come? So some of the causes of blindness that we see in children are infections, either infections of the eye or infections of the brain. So for example, if you have an infection inside the eye, we call that orbital cellulitis. That can damage the structures inside the eye that are important for vision. If you have an infection inside the brain, such as meningitis, that can damage the nerve that is responsible for conducting the signals from the eye to the brain, or it can damage the back of the brain, which we said is responsible for the interpretation of the images that have been received by the eye. If you have nutritional deficiency, especially vitamin A, which is very common in babies, because most babies, especially in Kenya and in Africa, will be exclusively breastfed, which means they will receive only breast milk for the first 6 months of their life. And breast milk does not have very high content of vitamin A. So it's important that the mother gets adequate vitamin A, so that she can get enough for herself and for the baby if they're breastfeeding. It's important that if it's an older child who has been weaned from breast milk into other foods, that this child gets adequate vitamin A from their diet so that you don't get a dry eye. Lack of vitamin A makes the eye dry, and once the eye dries up, it's not able to function properly. Other things that can cause blindness include cancers of the eye, such as retinoblastoma. Retinoblastoma is a very common cancer of the eye in children, especially in Kenya. And if you notice a white substance inside your child's eye, it's very important that you have that child's eye checked so that we are sure that they do not have this cancer of the eye that is known as retinoblastoma. Eyes can get injured. A child may fall into a penetrating object, and so that object can damage the eye, or a child may be involved in a road traffic accident and that may affect the brain. So all those are injuries that can cause subsequent blindness. Children may also have brain damage resulting from birth trauma. Maybe they had prolonged labor and prolonged delivery, and so parts of their brain did not receive adequate oxygenation, and that can cause blindness. It's a type of blindness we call cortical visual impairment. The nerve that is responsible for connecting the eye to the brain may also be damaged, the optic nerve, or it may not grow to the size that it's supposed to. We call that optic nerve hypoplasia. Mm-hmm. Other causes of blindness include things like cataracts. Children can get cataracts into the eye, which are lens opacities. We do have a lens inside the eye, so if it becomes opaque, it may not permit light to get into the pupil. The pupil is the smallest part of the eye that is black. And so cataracts, if you have a damaged retina is the part of the eye that connects the nerve to the rest of the eye. And that's the most important part of, the eye function. So if it's damaged, then the child may not be able to see. And it can be damaged by diseases such as retinitis pigmentosa or by trauma. If there is retinal detachment. If a child has glaucoma, and glaucoma basically means buildup of pressure inside the eye. So there are some children, either because of a structural problem or because of an overproduction of the fluid that maintains the shape of the eye. If that fluid becomes too much, then you get pressure inside the eye, and that can damage the structures of the eye and render the child blind. So what are you supposed to do as a parent or a caregiver who has been given the news that your child is blind or your child is not able to see? What should you do as a parent? And of course, this is very difficult news to receive. There will be a period of mourning, a period of grieving, and a period of adjusting one's expectations and, you know, learning about what accommodations the child will require now that they are blind. But good news is there are accommodations for blind people. There's literally nothing that a blind person cannot do in this world. A blind person is able to do almost everything that a person with vision can. They can swim, they can go to school, they can get into a career, a well-meaning and well-paying career, they can have relations, they can have children. And so there shouldn't be any limitation when it comes to a child who has been diagnosed with blindness. So what you can do as a parent is if the blindness is reversible, then you should follow the steps that have been outlined to you by your primary health caregiver to reverse the blindness. Some of the reversible causes may be things like a squint or things like an injury to the eye. So care may need to be given to the eye so that it can heal. So if the cause is reversible, please follow the instructions that have been given to you so that the eye can restore its function. Blind people may require accommodations such as Braille, and Braille is a special writing and reading technique that has been adapted for blind people, so they are able to read by sensory, by touching the book, which has been raised in different patterns. It has small dots that are raised in different patterns that represent different letters. So a blind child is able to read alongside with his or her seeing colleagues. They are able to write and they are able to communicate using Braille. They may need a walking cane, and it's a special walking cane for blind people that allows them to navigate the different parts of their route. They're able to cross the road. They're able to get themselves to the places that they need to be. If it's a school or work or a college, there shouldn't be any limitation. Of course, safety needs to be observed, maybe the first two or three tries, to make sure the child can get to their destination safely. Blind people sometimes require accessibility apps, which basically means the gadgets and programs that are designed to help them navigate the world around them. So, for example, one of the gadgets can be a sound adapted tablet that announces to the other people that there is a blind person behind them or beside them who may require to be kept safe or who may require extra space to get to where they need to get. When it comes to employment and vocation position, blind people may require to be given a special category that is non-competitive. So do not subject a blind young adult to the same interview that you would subject a seeing person. They require assistance. They require to be given a headway so that they can also get into meaningful employment and gainful experience. Blind people also qualify for government assistance. So if you have such a program in your country that registers disabled people and they get into a government program that sends them emoluments at the end of the month, blind people should be included in such a program. They should also be given priority when it comes to traveling, when it comes to boarding into public vehicles, when it comes to boarding escalators and lifts and getting into buildings, when it comes to voting processes, when it comes to shopping, when it comes to getting a space inside a social gathering such as a church or a mosque, a blind person should be given priority. It is important to remember that blind people have intact brains unless there has been a structural damage to the brain. Majority of the blind people will have a functioning brain that is equal to his or her age mates, and so they should receive equal opportunities such as their non-blind counterparts. So if it's a job, they should be given an opportunity to apply and to get a chance to get in, and they should be given extra or an allowance to accommodate for some of the challenges that they may face. It's important that the accommodations and the adaptations are commenced before school age so that you avoid learning gaps. So for example, if your child has been diagnosed with blindness at age 3, the accommodations like teaching them how to use a walking cane, teaching them how to read Braille should start before entry into school. So if your entry into school age is 4 years in your country, then this accommodation should start much earlier so that they don't waste a year getting accommodated into the system and then join the school the next year, because that creates a learning gap which can lead to self-esteem challenges in the child when they realize that they are much older than their colleagues in the same class. So thank you so much for joining me today as we have learned about disability and we've talked about blindness. Please remember to share this episode with your friends who you think may benefit from it. Remember to like this episode on YouTube. Remember to follow me on Twitter at MDFabilities and on Instagram at Defaba. And I will see you next time as we continue with Disability Pride and as we continue to learn about disabilities and what we can do once we have a person who is disabled. Till next time, bye-bye.